started with messages of hope on global warming, and that's clearly in there. But the spiritual openness and the curiosity about, you know, the other side and what happens there and, you know, what were transitions like, that really got my attention.
Welcome to Exploring the Mystical Side of Life with your host, Linda Lang.
Hi, this is Linda Lang from ThoughtChange.com. We are exploring the mystical side of life once again this week. If you enjoy our conversations, remember to subscribe, share with a friend. We have such an interesting topic that we're going to explore today. I have John Thomas with me. John was part of a team that reached into the spirit world and interviewed souls that wanted to come forward and bring us a message about our own evolution and the evolution of Mother Earth and global warming. So, welcome, John.
Thank you, Linda. It's a pleasure to be here.
John, you are a typical Silicon Valley tech guy who is also a spiritual seeker. Tell us a little bit about the messages of hope.
Well, channel messages of hope, conversation with history's most prominent souls regarding the environment. The objective of the project in the book is to provide messages of hope to those people that are concerned with our environment and where it is going. And we thought that the best perspectives on that would be the souls of a wide variety, from policymakers to scientists, conservationists, to notable spiritual leaders such as St. Francis and Wayne Dyer.
Just a really fascinating idea for a project, John. How did this idea actually come about?
So the way this started is that my wife, Carolyn, her friend, long-term friend, is Sam, the channeler. And Sam initially had skills in terms of animal communicating. And what came through after a number of years is that Sam started receiving very high vibration messages that were clearly intended for Carolyn. Sam did not really understand who it was or where it was coming from, but it was clear it was for Carolyn. So when Sam told Carolyn about this, they had the idea that maybe Sam could bring in this soul that really wanted to communicate with Carolyn. This is kind of a step up from the animal communications. And it turned out that Sam did have the ability to do what, you know, we call voice channeling, where the soul actually comes in and takes her vocal cords. And Carolyn was able to have communication in a conversational way with this particular soul that we call Baba that really wanted to communicate with her. Once Carolyn realized that this voice channeling capability existed with Sam, and by the way, after these voice channeling sessions, Sam has no real recollection of the session. She can feel energies at times, but she doesn't feel the content. Carolyn had the idea that if we can voice channel souls, especially the soul Baba, who made it clear he was an ascended master on this group on the other side called the Council, maybe Carolyn had the ability to have conversations with almost any soul that would come in. And so from that inspiration, she said, there's so many things going on in the world right now. You know, there's wars, there's the environment, the pandemic was still going at that time, that if I could channel in various souls that could provide general messages of hope for people around these topics that are very distressing for many, that would be a very good thing to do. And so taking that idea and then in further voice channeling sessions with the soul we call Baba, what he told Carolyn was what they see on the other side is that the biggest struggle happening is Mother Earth's struggle. And Mother Earth has a soul. And that has to do with the way Mother Earth is being treated and the environmental response that we're seeing. And so that's how it kind of coalesced into messages of hope around for this particular book, the first book, around environmental issues, global warming, and things like that. That's how it all came to be.
And so how did you decide who you wanted to bring in and receive messages from?
Carolyn initially created a list of who she thought might be appropriate. There were some former presidents on the list. They're policymakers, some conservationists, of course, her spiritual guides such as Wayne Dyer. What turned out is when she made the initial list and then we started in on these interviews through the voice channeling sessions, the souls would oftentimes then tell us, you need to talk to this other person here as well. Like, for example, Theodore Roosevelt said, you need to talk to John Muir. And coincidentally, John Muir had told us you need to talk to Theodore Roosevelt. Those two worked together very closely. Theodore Roosevelt is responsible for our national park system from a government policy point of view. And John Muir, as a preservationist, you know, this was his passion. So the list kind of evolved and developed as we went into it. But as it turned out, when you look at the 19 souls, there's a really interesting mix from the policymakers, the scientists, the conservationists, the spiritual leaders, and you get a different perspective. So putting it all together, what I think is the richness of a lot of the messages.
Does it look different on the other side than what it looks like to us here?
Well, what we could gather from that is that on the other side, they're not sitting around. They actually have working groups. The technologists oftentimes are part of large working groups, or maybe take John McCain is working with George Washington and others to preserve our democracy. We definitely had insights into what the transition and how things looked at the transition. We also were given insights in terms of when these interviews were happening, were they being watched? And I had this vision in my mind based on the descriptions from souls. It's almost like a movie theater as they were watching these interviews of maybe 100 souls at a time. As one of the souls told us, it's a hard ticket to get to watch these interviews. The council was controlling this. So, you know, it's really a little bit hard for me to say, but one thing that's really clear is that it's high love and it's all about the energies on the other side. And all the souls, all of them loved it on the other side, even though some are really excited to come back into a body because they have things they want to work on. But by and large, it's a really hard environment to imagine, but it's a pure loving environment. That is completely clear that came through.
And they're obviously working very diligently to improve this dimension.
They are, and different souls are working on different things that are their passions. Tesla, for example, has many scientists on Earth that are working on things in a body that they are providing guidance, and the guidance comes through in terms of inspiration, such as in dreams or aha moments. We might say a lot of people, as the souls told us, might think that they had this idea, that the idea oftentimes was downloaded to them. In the same way that when Carolyn came up with this idea, I could channel many souls for this messages of hope. In further discussion, no, the council gave her that inspiration, and actually channel messages of hope is not Carolyn's project per se. It is the council's project. And it is Carolyn's contract with the council to carry out their wishes on this. That became very clear. So the way that the souls interact with people in the body, it's subtle at times, but it's definitely there. And I think a lot of it has to do with how receptive people are to having that kind of influence show up in their life.
This book is essentially about global warming, yet you mentioned messages coming through about what the transition is like. So obviously there's some other spiritual concepts, let's call them, that are covered in this book aside from global warming. That's curious to me.
What happened is we started the interviews, and they're not technical interviews about global warming, although Carolyn did a lot of research to understand the current situation we're in. We're not climate scientists here, but we wanted to explain our understanding of the state of affairs when we started talking to a soul about this to get their impression. at the very beginning of the interviews, we weren't asking as many questions about what is happening on the other side, what was your transition like. We kind of evolved into that because the souls were very forthright and willing to talk to us. So we went down those roads as far as we could because we were very interested. I mean, finding out things like, you know, Wayne Dyer, what was his transition like? He said that when he transitioned and he arrived and he came into that environment, it looked just like Maui, his home, because in his mind, that was heaven. That was his first glimpse when he came to the other side, as well as thousands of unrecognizable souls that were clearly people that had been influenced by a lot of his work. He was a teacher, touched many people that he didn't even know. And that was there to greet him when he came over. Started with messages of hope on global warming, and that's clearly in there. But the spiritual openness and the curiosity about, you know, the other side and what happens there and, you know, what were transitions like, that really got my attention. And so as we did more and more interviews, we started going more and more down that path. And I will tell you that the souls, especially ones that we believe to be on the council, such as St. Francis, would let us get to a point and then they would say, we're not going any further on that. So, but we did try. We didn't want to annoy any soul, but we did, you know, pursue those topics.
What was something that really surprised you to learn about the other side?
Well, what surprised me, maybe there were a couple things. You know, you can say, oh, it's an environment of pure love, but what does that feel like? I had a dream soon after doing some of these interviews, and this dream will never leave me as long as I'm in this body. And this feeling of just having this pure acceptance, this warm feeling of, it's hard for me to describe, but I had that feeling in my dream. I can still imagine it vividly. So I know that the souls told, especially St. Francis, there is nothing to fear about transitioning. When you get here, it's all love, no matter what happened. But there is a review process that does happen on the other side. Like, for example, we talked to Richard Nixon. And, of course, Richard Nixon has his history here, you know, and we're not Nixon apologists by any stretch. But Carolyn, in her research, found that Richard Nixon was far ahead of the game on many environmental issues back when he was president. His State of the Union in 1970 discusses many environmental initiatives that he had. So we wanted to talk to him because of that. We weren't interested in Watergate and all these kinds of things. So we were told by Stephen Schneider that Richard Nixon is in a deep isolation, because what we've learned is that when a soul goes over, there's a review process of what you did in that life in a body, what lessons you learned, what mistakes, or maybe that's not the right word, that your experiences are reviewed. And Richard Nixon being in deep isolation was a review process. And when we went to channel him, we did not know if he would show up. And Carolyn was actually very apprehensive of that, but he did show up. And interestingly enough, he seemed confused when he came in because he said, are you sure you want to be talking to me? And so when Carolyn explained that it was what he had to do with his environmental initiatives, he sort of grudgingly accepted that. But he also was forthright, and all the souls are forthright in terms of what lessons are they there to learn. In Richard Nixon's case, he said, I felt I had a lot more power than I did. I didn't treat people well when I was here. And the deep isolation, the review, is to gain a complete understanding of that, such when he comes back in a body, he won't have to repeat that lesson. And so these are the kinds of stories we would get related from the soul. So I felt that was quite interesting. And I will say that I thought about my own situation and what lessons was I put here to learn? What have I realized? And I've come up with a couple things that are life lessons that I need to learn. I can see the consequences of maybe not having addressed those if I would have done things differently, that I don't think I would be thinking about if I hadn't been able to participate in all these soul reviews. And, you know, if I come back in a body, I don't want to have to come back and redo the whole thing all over again. As the soul's told us, you're here to learn and to grow and to make advancements. Maleva Einstein told us specifically she's had 122 lives in a body. And let me add one more thing, Linda, about what were some of the things that I learned. When we were voice channeling a soul, we were talking to their higher self regarding the lifetime of our interest. But take Maleva. Her son, Edward, had schizophrenia when she was married to Albert. She is currently in a body as a psychotherapist in India right now, today. Yet we were talking to her higher self, and she was telling us all about this. So that is just fascinating.
It's very fascinating. I'm curious if Sam's voice changed while she was channeling different spirits.
Well, this was another thing. One of our early channel sessions was with John Muir. And when he came through, all of a sudden she was talking with kind of a Scottish accent. I was like, wow, she has an accent. If you call my West Coast accent an accent, sounds just like me. So that came through. And on our website, channelmessagesofhope.com, we have various audio from some of these interviews. You can hear it. But Tesla being, you know, Serbian, Eastern European, that comes through. So yes, it is very interesting how the voice changes. And even kind of the inflections and the way the souls use words. We've had this comment more than a couple times from the written word. They that knew those souls and, you know, when they were here in a body, such as Wayne Dyer, like, that sounds like how he talks. And then if you can go to the website and you hear a few of the audio snippets, you can make your own decision on that. But to me, that was one of the real surprises when we started this.
And so interesting to hear that the other side is also concerned about the Earth and global warming. Did they give us some actual concrete suggestions?
Well, you know, let me take it to the highest level that really sunk home to me. And St. Francis put all this together. And, you know, the whole project from the council started because they saw Mother Earth in such a struggle right now. And what St. Francis teaches us and tells us is that we have to look at this. We are all one. Man is not treating each other very well right now, and hence is not treating the Earth very well, and the Earth is reacting in kind with what's happening with the environment, with global warming and the consequences of that, that man needs to revere nature, animals, all living things, including the soul that is Mother Earth has a soul. Jacques Cousteau would also tell you that the ocean has a soul. And for us to put those together, John Muir said, the earth is like a church and you need to respect it as such. And if man did that, you know, Mother Earth just gives us this gift of here's the environment, everything you need as humans to live. So all we have to do is treat her well and respect her, thank her. And I think the example, maybe it was St. Francis too, he said, if you have a family member and you don't treat that family member very well, you may not have a family member you can count on for the long term. And there's no difference with Earth and our environment. Wayne Dyer would say there's visualizations of Mother Earth and how we can give thanks to her. So the spiritual leaders were really putting it all together for us that we're all one. But if you go back to the policymakers, they had very specific ideas too. Much more tactical, I might say, in terms of you have to give China certain incentives to go more to renewables. It's all about the money. Jacques Cousteau had many ideas in there about plastics are such a problem in our ocean. There's a lot of work right now to create new plastic materials out of kelp and seaweed that the souls are supporting that work on their side. So there were a variety of different things, but one takeaway for me is that, you know, we can be in a little bit of despair. One person, and I see this environment going the way it is, what can one person do? Well, one person can do a lot. If you just don't take more than what you really need, if everyone on this earth for a month said, I will not litter, and if I see a piece of litter, I'll pick it up. You can only imagine the change that would happen. And examples that were pointed out to us by Keeling and Stephen Schneider, I believe to a degree, is that look what happened in the pandemic. The air over Beijing cleaned up. St. Francis would say we need to slow down. We need to lead a simpler life. And when that happens, I'm not saying we should be in a pandemic all the time, but when we were in that mode where people were not out doing the classic things, the environment cleans up. What that tells us is that the earth wants to provide a nice environment. The earth can recover if given a chance. But if man continually is throwing all of this kind of abusive behavior at the earth, you know, through the greenhouse gas situation and all of that, it makes it very hard for the earth to recover. And we've thrown the earth a lot in a short amount of time, which is really what has gotten us into the current state that we're in.
So a recovery is not necessarily a given.
There's this thing called the Paris Agreement, where many countries have banded together to try to limit global warming to no more than 1.5 degrees C by 2050. And there's other activity going on, such as developing nuclear fusion energy, which is a clean nuclear energy, and many other things. So the souls overall said, man can get there. The souls are optimistic that man can get there, and they are doing their part. So is it recoverable? Yes, it's recoverable. And the earth can deal with a lot in terms of pushing it out of balance and bring it back into balance. So a message of hope around all this is that many people are working on this. What's good, especially for the age group like myself, the younger generation is really taking this seriously. There's a number of efforts going on globally, developing technologies, making us, you know, going toward more renewables and clean energy. There's a lot of work going on, and that work is supported. But I think Samuel Clemens said it best. Samuel Clemens, aka Mark Twain, we were told to talk to him by Tesla, which was a real head scratcher for us. Why Samuel Clemens? Because Tesla and Clemens were very close, and Clemens was a big investor in technology in his day. He made money writing his books, then he'd invest with people like Tesla on technology. But Samuel Clemens said, I really believe that the earth will be a better place over the next 20 years, but y'all don't need to get lazy.
So. Exactly. There is some action needed, right?
There's action needed. There's action happening. And as individuals, we can do a lot if we treat Mother Earth with respect, if we thank her, if we try to keep our life and our environment as clean as we can. Don't take more than what we need. If everybody starts moving in that direction, we can get there. And that is happening, is the net conclusion that we walked away with.
Who was your favorite interview?
These are tough ones. I loved St. Francis because of how he really put it together and made me truly understand this concept of we are one. Something intellectually, I would have said, yeah, we're all one. But then after, I could really feel it. But I really enjoyed, you know, the technologist, like Nikola Tesla. And we explored other topics. Tesla, one of his main inventions was the ability to transmit electricity wirelessly. You can imagine what that would mean for the environment. But when Tesla died, when he transitioned, there was this notion of Tesla papers. He left many trunks, huge trunks of all his inventions and writings that disappeared. There's always been a big controversy what happened to the Tesla papers. And Tesla told us, he said, well, what's going on here is that the U.S. and Serbian government have locked down all those papers because there's a big concern that that wireless electricity technology could be used for weapons of mass destruction. It could be a very bad thing. So they've really buried that. And he gave us that insight. I was always curious about that because I've read many things. So each soul in their way had different aspects of the interview that really stuck with me. Rachel Carson, who identified pesticides and took great risk personally writing a book and pointing that out to the world, when she transitioned, she was greeted by a million monarch butterflies, you know, which is just really indicative of the contribution that she made. And, you know, she really is looking forward to coming back in a body, because she died because of cancer, and it really ravaged her spiritually, physically. And when she comes back, she's going to be working on cancer. She'll be in some medical profession working on cancer, is what she told us.
So many people, while they're here in the body, and their life can be very challenging, very difficult, and they don't necessarily see the gift in it. And I cannot tell you in my lifetime how many people have said to me, oh, I don't ever want to come back here. And yet, here we are talking about these souls on the other side who can't wait to come back here.
Well, you know, those that have a mission in mind, a purpose in mind. But, you know, the council, from what we've been able to put together, the group of ascended masters, they are not coming back. They're done. Even Samuel Clemens, we asked him, are you coming back in a body? He said, no, I have graduated, was his exact words. You look at some people that go through just great struggle, and you wonder, why are they having to go through that struggle? Maybe it's a lesson that they need to learn. I don't know about all my past lives, but from what I've been able to discern, and from certain channelers, that there were some cases where I died a violent death at one point, and maybe that influenced why I do certain things. I don't know. But as we've learned, it's not for us to know everything about how the whole thing works. What is for us is to learn and grow. And the closer we can get to the souls and what happens on the other side, the more I think it helps us examine our own human life this time around in a body, to take what we can learn and the areas we can grow. That's my big takeaway from this.
Did any of the spirits give a little piece of inspiration or wisdom that we could leave our listeners with, that something they learned in their lifetime that we could take to heart?
I'll take Wayne Dyer. He said, send love to Mother Earth through meditations and visualizations. He even is doing work like that on the other side with other souls, as we were told. Cousteau, you know, this is back to the conservationists, said that we need to preserve coral reefs as sanctuaries without human interaction. You know, the insight that some of these things that we might take for granted are part of the overall ecosystem and the balance. And I think that the concept, as we were told by a couple souls, that Mother Earth is not happy right now. She doesn't feel that she's being treated well. And so we're seeing that reaction. That, to me, is a pretty big piece of wisdom that can help us in how we treat Mother Earth. To provide just a really brief technical perspective of the situation we're in, a lot of people, let's call them deniers, might say, oh, it's just weather, what's going on here. And it is true that our Earth environment will go from ice house to greenhouse to ice house to greenhouse. There's a cycle, but that cycle is 100,000 years. And this is measurable, as Dr. Keeling told us. And we can look at trapped bubbles in the ice cap, and we can see exactly what the composition was. But what we've done as man in this industrial age is throwing such a quantum leap of change at the Earth. It's such a small sliver of 100,000 years. What we've done is the Earth simply is getting to a point where it can't recover. And it would be a very sad thing. This is not just man. This is animals and nature and plants and trees that communicate with each other. Everything is connected. And so if something goes out of balance, all the connected things are going to face a consequence. This has become clear to me going through this effort. A lot of it is simply about the behavior of individual people. The more we can do to educate children at the young age of what they can do in terms of treating the environment like a family member and treating it as if you were in a church, and why that is so important, I really think would go a long way. So it's really up to us, Linda, I guess, at the end of the day.
it's encouraging to know that we have help from the other side that has a higher perspective than we have here in the midst.
It certainly was inspiring to me and reassuring that is happening. And I can tell you that on the other side, they're very concerned about the situation here. And I'm sure there's other projects going on in other places. Messages of Hope is what they wanted, and they chose Carolyn, you know, through Sam and to a degree myself to carry that out. But the technologists are working in groups right now to influence science. The policymakers are doing their part because preserving democracy actually is a big part of this. And the spiritual leaders are doing their part to try to get people to really understand that we are one and that Mother Earth feels revered and respected. So, yeah, there's a lot of activity, and it came through all of these soul interviews, and it was very reassuring to me, but it also said we have a great responsibility here. And so our responsibility is to try to get the word out on this to people that need it, people that are spiritually open, curious, are concerned about the environment. This is our way to try to get that word out.
And where can we send people if they want to learn more?
Our website is a great place, www.channeledmessagesofhope.com, all one word. And you can hear parts of certain interviews on the site. If you're interested in getting the book, that's easy to click when you get to the site.
Beautiful. Thank you, John, for being my guest.
Thank you for the opportunity to chat with you and your listeners.
And thank you for listening to this week's edition of Exploring the Mystical Side of Life. You will find all of our conversations on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, on Spotify. Come visit me at thoughtchange.com, pick up your copy of Learning to Listen, and we will see you again next time. Bye for now.